Right, tonight's reading is from Acts chapter 12, verses 1 to 24. So that's Acts chapter 12, verses 1 to 24. And if anyone wants a title, it's Our Response to Persecution. This is the word of the Lord. It's inherent, it's totally, totally reliable and totally, totally inspired by God. About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, and when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to the four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. Now, when Herod was about to bring him out, on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly." And the chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Dress yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and followed him. He did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they had passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord, and they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left him. When Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." When he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where there were many gathered together and were praying. And when he knocked at the door of the gateway, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. Recognizing Peter's voice, in her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and reported that Peter was standing at the gate. They said to her, "You're out of your mind." But she kept insisting that it was so. And they kept saying, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking. And when they opened, they saw him and were amazed. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, "Tell these things to James and to the brothers." Then he departed and went to another place. Now, when day came, there was little disturbance among the soldiers over what had become of Peter. And after Herod searched for him and did not find him, he examined the sentries and ordered they should be put to death. Then he went down from Judea to Caesarea and spent time there. Now, Herod was angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and they came to him with one accord. And having persuaded Blastus, the king's chamberlain, they asked for peace, because their country depended on the king's country for food. On an appointed holiday, appointed day rather, Herod put on his royal robes and took his seat upon the throne and delivered an oration to them. And the people were shouting, "This is the voice of a god, not a man." Immediately, an angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. But the word of God increased and multiplied. For many of us, it seems as though we are living in a world that's increasingly hostile and, dare I say, flammable. Ungodly beliefs and practices, such as abortion, the agenda pushed by the LGBTQ plus community or lobby, have been brought into the forefront, legislated through Parliament. Furthermore, if you dare oppose this, you dare stand up against this, these beliefs and practices, or even just use the words repent, dare I say, even say repent, you're considered a bigot, and in some cases you're cancelled. Additionally, the governing authorities, I've just realised, look at my notes, slightly out of date now, they are not looking to legislate bills such as the conversion therapy bill, which could potentially have the ability to outlaw Christian objection, how we raise our children, potentially preaching, prayer. Now, we see, as Billy said in his prayer, God's opposition to brain freeze moment. That opposition to God's people and proclamation of his word is nothing new. You can go all the way back to the fall for opposition. You can look at Cain murdering Abel, Israel's opposition to Moses in the desert, Saul spending his time hunting down David, God's anointed king, even opposition to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In fact, Jesus says that we must expect opposition and persecution. In Luke 21:16-18, he says, "You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated all for my name's sake." So, something we should expect. Now, brings us to the passage tonight. Now, let's say, King Herod went out against the church. And, let's say, he says that James' brother and John, that being the Apostle John, also known as James' son of Zebedee, who was one of the 12 apostles, who followed Jesus throughout his earthly ministry, was present at his resurrection, ascension, and was with the rest of the disciples at Pentecost. So, one of the senior figures in the early church, he sees them, put them to death by the sword. And he saw it pleased the Jews. In fact, the NIV translates it that it met with approval among the Jews. Therefore, he goes and lays hands on Peter and puts him in prison. And puts four squadrons of soldiers to guard him. Now, in the Roman Empire, squadron comprised of 30 soldiers. That's what Google said when I typed it in. So that'd be 120 soldiers to guard a preacher. 120 soldiers. You think, a bit excessive really, isn't it? Well, as I say, it's still happening today. It might be a bit controversial, but during the lockdowns of 2020, 2021, there were some churches that, whether you agree with them or not, said, no, we don't want to close down our church. We want to continue worshipping, continue singing. And various countries had their different ways of saying, trying to control that, let's say. In Canada, in particular, there was two particular pastors in the province of Alberta, that being Tim Stevens and James Coates. The response after having fines from the provincial authorities was for them to be arrested and put into maximum security prison. So that would have been the same prison as murderers, rapists, drug dealers. Yet again, you'll think, whichever way, whatever you thought of how these churches behaved, you might think it's a bit extreme for a pastor who's just having a church service. You wouldn't expect them to be put into a maximum security prison. So it's the same situation. So you see the parallels there. Now, Dr. Luke, who, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote this, wants to impress on us, the readers, that Herod is going after the senior figures in the church. It's the same in any generation. You can see it from even in the likes of the Covenanters, go after senior people, people that are well-renowned. And, as I say, the idea is that if you go after them, everyone else will fall back into line. Everyone else will be scared. They're making an example of them. So the church here clearly is under attack. The Jews don't want the gospel spread. They wish to have its leaders put away. What does the church do? Well, in verse 5 it says that prayers were made for him. We pray. Likewise, in our current situation, and let's say if you've been reading if you've read any of the King's speech today and set things on conversion therapy, child education, it's a lot to pray about. So we can pray. We pray for, let's say, it's the same God of the Old Testament, the New Testament, the God of today, the God of Abraham. And he can, let's say, if God could respond for his glory then he can respond for his glory now. And say, we should make prayers, we should make our petitions, which is what we're going to do after our second hymn. We will make petitions, and we should do. And say, whether it be against new laws, we're trying to restrict what we can and can't do, as a church, what we can preach, on issues at work, school, university, social circles, or even if there's pressure from other people to conform to the new social norms and accept it, and in some cases affirm. Let's say we need to pray about these things and pray that God will give us strength and will give our brothers and sisters in Christ strength to be faithful. Be faithful to Christ. Be faithful to Scripture to the end. And we should pray for organisations such as the Christian Institute and Christian Concern as they lobby and as they use whichever legal mechanisms possible to stop any issue, anything that's going to affect us, anything that's going to, let's say, ban what we can say and what we can't say, ban what we can and can't pray about. And also pray for them as they fight in the courts for our brothers and sisters in Christ who have been falsely accused of spreading hatred when we're only bringing the good news, which is what this country really needs. It needs Christ. Now, I'm not going to go through every single verse in detail, as I have, trying to keep it short tonight so we can have plenty of time to pray, because we need to pray. But clearly we see how the prayer was answered to the glory of God, and that an angel was sent to rescue Peter in verses 6 to 11, and he makes his way to the house of Mary, and yeah, again, they gathered there to pray. And boy, wouldn't you want to be a fly on the wall when Peter knocked on the door, hey? Rhoda answered saying, and just ran, saying, it's Peter. And oh, you're mad, you're out of your mind. He's a ghost. It's like, it'd be like us saying, oh, it's not so-and-so, you should have gone to Specsavers. Like, but no, it was Peter. He kept on knocking, and they're all amazed about how Peter was rescued. So, boy, doesn't God answer the prayer to his glory, even if we don't know it at the time? Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen. Finally, there's a couple more points I just wanted to mention. Firstly, God will bring justice and judgment on those who oppose him. God will bring justice and judgment on those who oppose him. We see later on, verse 23, Herod sits on his throne, and the people shout, this is the voice of a God, not a man. He doesn't rebuke them. He takes the glory. He doesn't give it to God. What happens? He gets struck down, eaten by worms. Now, yeah, I know we don't see that often, but this is just an example. God will bring justice. He, as I say, there's a time when he'll come to judge living and the dead. It's said in the Nicene Creed to say he will come back. Christ will come back and judge living and the dead. And it doesn't matter whether you believe in him or not. He's going to judge. And so, believer, be comforted. God will bring justice. If there's anyone here tonight, as I don't think there's anyone new here, but if you haven't nailed your colours to the mast, and you haven't thought about it, to say, come to Christ. To say, if you're still alive, you're still time. Come to Christ and affirm it. Make a statement about it. Hey, the baptistry is just below my feet. Have a chat with John. Have a chat with the deacons. And say, because God is willing to forgive and he's able to forgive. So God will judge. God will judge. And say, that was a foretaste of what's going to happen. Final point. After Herod's death, and actually, no, sorry, I'm going to go back one more, just an offshoot. Have you ever met anyone who says they're a believer, says they're a Christian, and they go, oh, the New Testament, it's just God's love. Yeah, the Old Testament, you don't read that, it's just God's judgment. New Testament's God's love. Yeah, this is the point. He does judge, and as mentioned, he will judge. He judges in the old and the new, and he'll judge living and the dead when he comes back. Finally, with Herod's death, we read that the word of God increased and multiplied. The word of God increased and multiplied. This is the days of the early church. Fast forward to 2024. Christianity spread throughout the world as churches underground. There's underground churches in countries which are shut off to Christianity, whether it be North Korea, Saudi Arabia, and as Christianity's, God's message is reached. It is powerful. And it's just an example that Christ will build his church. Be reassured, believer. Christ will build his church. Be encouraged. So if anyone's thinking, oh, the world's caving in. The world's caving in. We're losing here. No, we're not. We're not losing. say, keep living the Christian life. Keep living by God's word. Stay at your post. Because God is building his church. Christ is building his church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen.